the beginning. Man was born a long, long time ago, about 3 million years ago. But he wasn't too bright back then. He didn't know he could control his environment. So he had to live pretty much like an animal, just taking whatever came to hand. But time passed and man evolved. Homo habilis became Homo erectus, and Homo erectus finally became Homo sapiens about 200,000 years ago. So there we were, Homo sapiens, modern man. Clean him up, give him a shave and a haircut and a suit, and he could be a computer programmer or a literary critic. Then a strange thing happened. For 200,000 years, Homo sapiens accomplished nothing. Made no effort to gain control of his environment. God knows why. Didn't occur to him, probably. Then, about 10,000 years ago, Homo sapiens finally woke up to the fact that he could control his environment. Instead of living like an animal and depending on whatever came to hand, he could grow his own food. That was the beginning of everything. Mastery over food supply was the key that unlocked the box of keys. It was the mastery that made all the other masteries possible. Mastery over food supply meant that man need no longer follow the game as a nomadic hunter-gatherer. He could settle down in one place. He could build. He could invent. He could think. Mastery over food supply meant that man was free. Free to conquer the world. Free to reshape the world to his liking. The end. Liberated from the restraints that his environment had imposed on him for 3 million years, man proceeded to fulfill his manifest destiny. What had once been nomadic camps became villages. Villages grew into towns. Towns grew into cities. Cities were gathered into kingdoms. Kingdoms were gathered into empires. Technology, literacy, government, the arts, the sciences, law, religion, philosophy, all flourished. It was civilization, the ultimate home of man. Civilization is the ultimate home of man because, like man, it can never cease to grow toward an everlasting future of richness, grandeur, enlightenment, and unimaginable accomplishment. Even the stars themselves may not be out of our reach. Perhaps it is our awesome destiny to rule the entire universe. But that's in the future. Just now, we've hit a bad patch right here on Earth. We've got to get past that first. We've gobbled up our resources as though they were unlimited. We've got to find more so we can go on. We've devastated the land, poisoned the air, fouled the water. We're on the verge of ecological catastrophe. We've got to fix that. So we can go on. Millions of us are starving. A worldwide famine is not out of the question. We've got to increase food production so we can go on. Our population is doubling every 37 years. If it goes on that way, there will be 50 billion of us here by the end of the century. 10 times as many as there are now. We've got to get that under control so we can go on. The problem is mastery. We just haven't got enough of it yet. We haven't yet mastered our resources. We haven't yet mastered the ecological processes of the world. We haven't yet mastered food production. We haven't yet mastered population growth. That's why we have to go on, so we can get the mastery we need. Absolute mastery over everything in the world. Then it will be paradise. Then we'll have that everlasting future of richness, grandeur, enlightenment, and unimaginable accomplishment that the story promises us. This is the story as we learn it. It's ambient in our culture. It's something everyone takes for granted. It's a basic cultural understanding worldwide, which is no great wonder. It's the story of mankind as told by Homo Magister, man the ruler, man the master, born in the birth of agriculture. Wherever Homo Magister rules, that's the way the story is told, because that's the way Homo Magister sees it. But it's not the only way. As Homo Magister tells it, the story of mankind is really a story about him. He's the hero of the story. That's easy to see. In his telling of it, the action only begins when he arrives on the scene. In the 3 million years before that, nothing was happening. And indeed, nothing was happening, so far as Homo Magister can see. He looks at those 3 million years and sees a vacancy. Because people weren't mastering anything. And according to Homo Magister, that's what human life is all about. For all that time, people were just waiting. Waiting to evolve into Homo Magister. If it hadn't been for Homo Magister, people would have gone on doing nothing, getting nowhere. Homo Magister saved the human race from nothingness. It's true, on the other hand, that if it hadn't been for the arrival of Homo Magister, millions of people wouldn't be starving today. The Earth wouldn't be a cesspool of human wastes. We wouldn't have the capability of destroying the planet at the push of a button. We wouldn't be on the edge of extinction. But we'd still be shitting in the bushes. You wouldn't like that, would you? No bathrooms, no electric blankets, no television, no governments, no churches, no museums, no theaters, no penitentiaries, no schools, no nothing. It's silly to think about anyway. Man had to become Homo Magister. It was man's destiny to become Homo Magister. Wasn't it? Well, wasn't it? What else could he have become? He had to enact this story, because there was no other story to enact. And he has to go on enacting this story, because there is no other story to enact. This is how Homo Magister tells the story, because this is the way he sees it. As told by Homo Magister, he is the climax of the human story. He is the final product of human evolution. Man may become taller, stronger, or brainier, but he will always be Homo Magister. It is man's ultimate form. Even if Homo Magister topples the ecological balance of the Earth, a few will survive. And Homo Magister will rise from the ashes to do it all over again. Even if Homo Magister engulfs the world in a nuclear holocaust, a few will survive. That's why we have bomb shelters. So Homo Magister can rise from the ashes to do it all over again. Because man was divinely appointed to rule the earth. It's God's problem, really. He made us this way. He made us to rule the world. It's up to him to save us. This is the story Homo Magister tells about the lifetime of man. It's the story we're enacting. It's the story that's killing us. A few hundred years ago, Homo Magister had a story he told about the arrangement of the universe. It was a wonderful story, and he was very fond of it. He'd been telling it to himself for more than 1,000 years. It had the simplicity of a self-evident truth. The planet Earth is the center of the universe. Everything in the universe revolves around man's home. Sun, planets, stars, the works. It has to be that way because man is the center of the universe. God made the whole thing for man, so obviously he put man in the center of it. Astronomically speaking, the story didn't work out too well. It was hard to reconcile actual observations with it. But the astronomers did their best because they too were Homo Magister. They knew that man belonged in the center of the universe. Then a madman by the name of Copernicus came along with another story. A story that made sense of the actual celestial observations. He said that the Earth isn't in the center of the universe. It isn't even in the center of the solar system. It revolves around the sun. The sun is the center of the solar system. Homo Magister was outraged by this news story. He would have burned the heretic at the stake if he could have, but Copernicus was already safely in the ground. The next generation of astronomers worked hard to show that the Copernican story was false, but all their observations showed that the Copernican story was nearer the truth than the old Ptolemaic story. Reluctantly, Homo Magister was forced to accept the new story. He pretty much had to because the astronomers were members in good standing of Homo Magister. If they'd been Red Indians, Homo Magister would have laughed his head off and gone on thinking that the Earth was the center of the universe. The displacement of the Earth as the center of the universe was a blow to the pride of Homo Magister. But in the end, it saved him from making a fool of himself when he decided to visit the moon. If he had still believed that the sun revolves around the Earth, he would have gotten lost. Homo Magister had lost the Ptolemaic story that placed him at the center of the universe. This was a disagreeable shock, but he had another story to fall back on, a story even older and more venerable than the Ptolemaic story. In a way, it was even better. It placed him at the center of creation. When God had set out to create the universe, he hadn't just been killing time. He was creating the universe so that he could create something else. He had to create suns and moons and stars and planets. He had to create the Earth. He had to put air around it and water in the seas and rivers. He had to create a complete biological community to live in it, from earwigs to elephants. All this had to be done so he could create man. The universe was the home of the planet Earth, and the Earth was the home of man, complete down to the last detail, ready to move into. It was a turnkey project. When man's home was all ready for him, God made man. Naturally, having gone to all this trouble to get man's home ready for its master, God made man so that he was ready to be its master. Man was born Homo Magister, born to rule the earth that had been made for him. He was born with a box of keys in one hand and a key to the box in the other. The box held all the keys to civilization. The key that opened the box was agriculture. In other words, so far as Homo Magister knew, man was born an agriculturalist and a civilization builder. These things were as much innate to him as chirping is to a cricket. The biological community that God had stocked the earth with was man's food preserve, to be used as suited him. It had no other reason for being there except to support man's life. If man wanted more cattle in his food preserve, he could breed more cattle. If he wanted the wolves out of his food preserve, he could kill them off. The biological community of the world had been given to man to use as he would. He wasn't a part of that community, not in any sense. He was the ruler of that community. He had been born that way. There wasn't any evidence for the story, of course. People didn't think in terms of evidence in those days. It was simply obvious, self-evident almost. It was obvious that civilization was only a few thousand years old. So, obviously, man was only a few thousand years old. Obviously, then, he had been born a civilization builder. What else could he have been born? If you had suggested to Homo Magister then that man had been born a homeless hunter-gatherer, and that this homeless hunter-gatherer had lived through 3 million years without evidencing any inclination towards civilization, he would have laughed at you. He knew that there were such creatures, of course, in Africa and the New World, and he knew what had happened to them to make them that way. They had degenerated from the natural state. They had lost the key that opens the box of keys. They had lost the agricultural arts. They were subhuman, because to be human is to be Homo Magister. They lived like animals. They were a part of that biological community that had been given to man as his food preserve. Therefore, man could do anything he pleased with them. He could hitch them to the plow like oxen, or kill them off like wolves. By virtue of this story, man's place in the universe was secure, even if he wasn't physically at its center. That wasn't important. He was the end product of civilization, the creature for whom all the rest was made. Having made man, God stopped. Why wouldn't he stop? There was nothing more to make. It was a wonderful story, an inspiring story. But then, of course, along came Darwin. Homo Magister detested Darwin 1,000 times more than he had detested Copernicus. He would have burned him at the stake if that hadn't gone out of style. Darwin shattered Homo Magister's story of his birth. According to Darwin, man hadn't been born apart from and above the rest of the biological community. He had been born right in it. Not its ruler, its product. Not a master, a subject. Subject to the same biological processes that control the lives of flukeworms and bats and moles. He had not been shaped by the hand of God. He had been shaped by the mindless forces of natural selection. He wasn't the son of God. He was the son of apes. He hadn't been born an agriculturalist and a civilization builder, tall and handsome and brainy. He'd been born a squat, stupid savage. And he'd lived like a savage for hundreds of thousands of years, maybe millions of years. He'd had to pull himself out of the slime. God had created man in the slime. Homo Magister hated Darwin's story of man's origins. But he had to accept it, at least superficially, because Darwin and all the other biologists who supported the stories were members of Homo Magister. He couldn't ignore it completely, but he could do the next best thing. He could make it meaningless. Then he wouldn't have to think about it. Because you don't have to think about irrelevant, meaningless things. And so he revised the story of mankind. Okay, it's true that man was around for 3 million years or so before Homo Magister appeared to rule the world. But that doesn't mean anything. There's nothing to think about in that, because nothing was happening in those 3 million years. People weren't doing anything, because they weren't fully human. They were biologically human, of course, but they weren't fully human because they weren't accomplishing anything. They weren't trying to accomplish anything. They weren't trying to master their environment. Fully human people just naturally want to master their environment. It's innate in people who are fully human. Fully human life didn't begin with Homo habilis or Homo erectus or even Homo sapiens. It began with Homo magister, with man the agriculturalist and civilization builder, with me. Everything worth knowing, I discovered. Everything worth having, I invented. Everything worth doing, I have done, or will do. Nothing people knew before that was worth knowing. Nothing people had before that was worth having. Nothing people did before that was worth doing. God knew that. God never spoke to Homo habilis or Homo erectus. He didn't even speak to Homo sapiens for the first 200,000 years of his life. God wouldn't waste his time talking to savages. He was waiting for someone worth talking to. Someone fully human. Someone smart enough to recognize the destiny he had set for man. Someone who could appreciate him. Someone civilized. He was waiting for me. In mankind's life story, the 200,000 generations that lived and died before me don't count for anything. So you don't have to think about them. They lived and died for nothing. Except, in the end, to produce me, the ruler of the world. Homo magister was ultimately forced to overcome his repugnance to the idea that the Earth is not the astronomical center of the universe. To get on with his mastery of the world, he was forced to deal with this repellent idea. He was forced to build a totally new astronomy based on it. If he hadn't, he would have made a fool of himself on the way to the moon. But he has not yet been forced to deal meaningfully with the fact that his story, the story of man, the ruler of the world, represents only a half of 1% of the whole story of man. He hasn't built a totally new understanding of the story based on that fact. He doesn't want to. But if he doesn't, he's going to make an even worse fool of himself than just getting lost on the way to the moon. He's going to become extinct.